briefing. Turn on the mics.
So tab number one is Christopher Wood. Board staff received a complaint against Dr. Wood alleging lack of cleanliness within the clinic.
Okay, is Dr. Wood or his counsel here today?
I'm present.
Hi, you can step up, have a seat. Hi, thanks for appearing today. Can you please introduce yourself for the record?
Dr. Christopher Wood.
Thank you. And is the complainant signed in to speak?
We have no one else signed in to speak.
Okay. Dr. Wood, we've read all the materials that were submitted. You know, the purpose of our meeting at this point is to decide whether we're going to open up a complaint and a case number. What do you have to say in addition to what you've already submitted regarding the about the issues of cleanliness inside your office? There was a complaint against improper hand washing, tables not being cleaned, you know, cupping. I think that she mentioned, or whoever mentioned, they said that the cupping supplies were up and they looked very dirty. And I read your response that there's dirty ones and there's clean ones, and you got to know which ones to pick. You know, to me, it seems like those should be removed out of the office immediately so that patients don't get confused by that. And I understand that you've been practicing for a long time. So what do you say to this complaint?
I tried to explain myself the best I could as I could with what I submitted. But with the cups, when we take them off a patient, we put them on the top shelf, and then we clean them with alcohol and put them on the bottom shelf. It's understood among the employees that anything on the bottom shelf is clean, sanitized, and ready to use. So if the patient saw them sitting up there, they might have thought that we were going to reuse those or anything like that. Cups, after you use them for a while, even though you clean them, they can look dirty, but they're not. It's just like a plastic glass or anything like that.
So part of the complaint was that she would break out on her chest and on her back after treatment in your office. Did she explain any of that to you, or did she complain to you?
After I found out about this complaint, I looked up the name, and I have no patient by that name under my patient base. So I have no idea who this person is, and nobody ever came to me complaining of anything like that.
Okay. I'm going to ask my board members if they have any questions for you. Ms. Powell?
One question. The electric pads, the Eastern pads, are those designated per patient? Are they cleaned every time in between patients?
We spray them down between every patient with 70% alcohol and put them back on. If a patient, like I put in the paper I submitted, if a patient's known to have any sort of illness or disease or anything like that, then they get their own set of designated pads that they only use. But between the general, you know, the general public, we spray them down with alcohol before we use them on somebody else.
Thank you.
And I have one question. Dr. Kolash, does your office have its own washroom facility? Or
yes.
Or we have a shared one?
We have two bathrooms. And we have a kitchen area where there's also a sink and soap and everything else. But in our adjusting area, we have spray containers of alcohol, hand sanitizers. We use that between every patient.
And concerning the wiping down of the tables, do you do that in the presence of a patient, or do you do it in between?
Most of the time, because we have an open adjusting room, then, well, after one patient leaves, you know, most of the time we wipe it down right then. At the end of each shift, morning and night, we wipe every table down. But obviously there's no patients at that point. But most of the time they're wiped down, you know, right before another patient is on the table.
Okay. Dr. Kanoff, joining by phone, do you have any questions for Dr. Wood?
I do not. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Are there any other questions? Hearing none. So our options at this point are to either open up a complaint for further investigation and review or take no action. Would somebody like to make a motion?
I move to dismiss with no action.
Okay, is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, any further discussion? Okay, hearing none, I'll call for the question. Those in favor of taking no action, signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, hearing none, this matter is dismissed. Thanks for coming today.
Thank you.
Our next item on our agenda is tab number 2 in the matter of Dr. Bert Lindsay.
Yes, sir.
Hi, come on up, have a seat.
Thank you.
And please introduce yourself for the record.
My name is Dr. Bert Lindsay.
Thanks for joining. Ms. Castro, do you have a board briefing for us?
Yes. Board staff received a complaint stating Dr. Lindsay engaged in unprofessional conduct by contacting a patient by text message and speaking negatively about the chiropractic office where the patient received treatment.
Okay, is the complainant or anyone else here to sign?
No one else signed it to speak.
Okay. So again, we've read all the materials that were submitted. Do you have anything that you would like to add to?
I would never do anything.
Is there any board member that would like to recuse himself or herself?
Yes, Mr. Chair, this is Dr. Knopf. I'll be recusing myself.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so part of the complaint was that you made some disturbing comments, such as you don't like to hurt the nice patients, and how fun it was to treat the patient, and you know, do you understand that that's inappropriate, or do you think it's okay to say those kind of things or to undermine the office that you work in? And
sir, that's not appropriate, and I never did that.
Okay. And so what about the text messages that we have? As I look at our board meeting materials, it says, I really don't like hurting the nice patients. So there's
send a text message to any patient regarding anything like that, sir.
Okay. I'd like a motion to break into executive session.
So moved.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay. To review confidential materials and seek advice from our attorney. Okay, let's call for the question. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, we're going to break into executive session. You can all stay right here. We're going to. Don't need to leave because we have a member. Well, he's recusing himself. Does it matter?
Sorry.
Okay. No,
okay. So. So we're gonna take a break. We'll be back in just a few minutes, and then we're gonna continue. Okay. let the record reflect we're back in open session again and out of executive session. Thanks for your patience. So just to be clear, you know, our board meeting materials have a log of a conversation back and forth that looks like you're checking up on a patient, and you're saying that this never happened?
I brought my phone. You can look in my phone, sir.
Okay, well, we may do the opposite. We may continue the investigation and request the complainant to bring in their phone and then match up phone numbers and investigate this further. So you're saying this never happened?
I don't believe it ever happened, sir.
Okay, well, thank you. Board members, do you have any further questions for him? Okay.
Yeah.
So our options are to continue the investigation and open up a complaint to investigate this further, or to take no action. What's your pleasure?
For discussion, I'll move to further the investigation. Does that mean opening the complaint to further investigation? And I'll do that for purposes of discussion, primarily because we have a he said, she said, and I don't know how to resolve that conflict.
Okay, is there a second?
I'll second the motion.
Okay, so for discussion now.
Yeah. It is definitely a concerning string of text messages to me, but the complainant did not provide proof of the numbers that were there, and he's offered to show his phone, but we don't have any way of knowing that that's the phone that was being used. So I'm really at a dilemma to resolve this at this time.
Okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and call for the question. Those in favor of opening the complaint signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, hearing none, with one recused, the motion carries. So we're gonna investigate it further. You'll be invited to come back, and you'll be able to speak again like you did today, with or without counsel. And thank you for coming. We're done for today.
If you would like to look at my phone, you may.
Not at this point.
Okay.
So if you have any further questions, you can contact our interim executive director tomorrow or later on in the week, and she can answer any of those for you.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Okay, so we're going to move on now to tab number 3. It's a matter of licensure, and Dr. Taylor Overmull. Hi, you can come on up and have a seat. And you can introduce yourself for the record, please.
I'm Dr. Taylor Overmull.
Hi. Ms. Castro.
Dr. Overmull has applied for licensure by examination and physical medicine modalities and therapeutic procedure certificate. Application is complete at this time. On the application, Dr. Overmull disclosed an arrest in 2012 for possession of marijuana and possession of drug paraphernalia. Dr. Overmull stated that she fulfilled the conditions of the deferred prosecution and that charges were then dismissed. Board staff has received documentation from the Arizona Department of Public Safety and Flagstaff Justice Court confirming the charges. The documentation received also confirms the deferred prosecution and notes that the charges were dismissed with prejudice. The board can grant the license, and request a consent agreement or deny the license.
Hi, thanks for attending and being available for questioning. It always helps when licensees show up in these kind of matters. So you're a recent graduate in 2017?
Yep.
Okay, thank you. Board members, do you have any questions? Okay. Does somebody want to make a motion?
Dr. Kolash, I move to grant licensure at this time with proper fees being paid.
Okay, is there a second?
I'll second the motion.
Any further discussion? Okay, I would like to say, you know, I appreciate your honesty when filling out our application and submitting the information that you did. Thank you for that, and please don't let this happen again.
Never will. Thank you for giving me this opportunity. I appreciate it.
Okay, I'm going to call for the question. Those in favor of granting licensure upon payment of appropriate fees signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Okay, that was Dr. Knopf. That was a yes?
Yes, aye.
Okay. So hearing none opposed, the motion carries. Thank you.
Thank you guys very much.
Okay. Okay, tab number four is the matter of Dr. Jason Reed. Hi, come on up. You can introduce yourself.
My name is Dr. Jason Reed.
Hi. Ms. Castro.
Dr. Reed has applied for licensure by examination and physical medicine modalities and therapeutic procedure certificate. His application is complete. On the application, Dr. Reed disclosed he was arrested in 2006 and charged with driving while intoxicated. Board staff received documentation from the Glencoe Police Department and Minnesota District Court confirming the arrest and charges. Dr. Reed also disclosed he was arrested in 2013 and charged with driving while intoxicated. Board staff has received documentation from the South Lake Police Department and District Court confirming the arrest and charges. The board can grant the license and request a consent agreement or deny the license.
Okay, what do you have to say for yourself? We've read the materials that you've submitted. How do we know, I guess, you know, we're tasked by the governor's office to protect the public. How do we know if we grant you a license that this will never happen again or trickle into your office now that it's happened twice in the last 15 years?
My past doesn't reflect on who I've now become ever since I got done with undergraduate, and when I met my wife and I entered chiropractic school, everything's kind of changed, and my past doesn't reflect on who I've become and kind of what as a doctor that I want to be in the future. So.
And you've graduated this year?
Yeah, okay. In March.
Okay. So, you know, in the past, what we've done sometimes is, you know, we have options. We could take your word as it is, and we could grant a licensure, or in some cases we would put you on a probationary type status, you know, over a couple of years pending a consent agreement that could be worked out with staff. Is that something that you might be willing to do, to give a chance to prove yourself?
Yes.
Okay. Board members, do you have any questions for the doctor? Okay. What's your pleasure? Does anybody want to make a motion?
Yes, I'd like to make a motion to grant licensure, however, under a consent agreement for 2 years, a minimum 2 years, to be tested, alcohol tested, drug tested, on a monthly basis or whatever's routinely done.
Okay. Ms. Castro, anything additional that you need for the parameters of the consent agreement?
In a situation like this, we typically have a monitor in place. So that's something. The EBAS is always an option of the board if they felt that was appropriate.
Okay. So is there a second?
A second.
Okay, for discussion, go ahead.
Yeah, he's just come out, just graduated, so he's had a year or so in clinic and supervised practice. Without an additional complaint and the fact that he has graduated, I think that's a mitigating circumstance in his behalf.
I agree, and the most recent arrest for DWI was in 2013, so it's been 6 years. So I don't know if this is excessive or not for where we are.
Mr. Chair, this is Dr. Knopf. I think it's a bit excessive in this case, just on the timing of the incidences, and I would be more inclined to grant licensure in this case.
Is it appropriate to ask a simple question of the?
Not at this point, because we're deliberating amongst ourselves.
Yeah.
But we can withdraw the first and second and we can continue? Or I can call for the question and see where it goes.
Can we modify my motion?
Absolutely.
Okay, so we would just grant licensure with 1 year probation. I don't think this doctor needs to be monitored, but I do think we need to check in because drinking and driving is a serious problem. It's happened twice. It could happen 3 times. I know people have graduated. After they've graduated, it happens. And that's no reflection on you, and I don't mean to imply that you would be just to be protective of the public. That's my only concern. So 1 year probation or 1 year.
Okay. Is there a second for that motion?
I'll second.
Okay. So for discussion, probationary status is disciplinary, and that will dramatically impact, and he will have to disclose in every insurance agreement that he tries to get into, and it may exclude him and have extreme financial difficulties for him as a newly licensed practitioner. So that's just something I'm thinking about. You know, I feel like if this happened while he was in school,
right,
or if it happened since he graduated, we would have a lot more ground to stand behind a motion like that. So that's just my thought on it.
And I agree with that
motion.
Yeah. So let me rescind that
okay.
motion and make a motion to grant licensure. I don't want to affect his abilities or chances at all.
Okay.
I will accept the rescinding and I will second.
Okay.
And Dr. Kalesh, you rescind your second?
I did. Yes.
So, now, did you have any further questions for him?
I may have missed it, but when was your marriage? When did you get married?
We got married almost 2 years ago, June 22nd, 2017.
And the board may wish to query the applicant about his treatment and testing. And, you know, for the record, it seems like there was a good amount of that. And if you're interested.
After we call the question, or before, since I think we're in the motion.
We're in the middle of a motion, but I.
you can obtain more information. I mean, there's no statutory obligation that you follow those parliamentary procedures, but I just threw that out there because it's certainly in the materials, but we hadn't heard from that in the open meeting.
Thank you.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second to grant licensure, So the question is, can you tell us what kind of treatment you've had since your most recent DWI in 2013, and if you have completed everything that was required from you mm-hmm. from that?
Yeah, I was under a 30-day house arrest, and from there I had to attend. Eight AA meetings, and then so I completed those, and I had to attend the MAD panel, which I also completed. And after that one, I did go through a chemical dependency, and everything that they found, I wasn't able to attain it. The company that was in my small hometown doesn't work anymore. So I'm able to receive that from my lawyer at the time, if that need be. I think I wrote that in an email to Chris about that and asking if I needed to get that or not. All of that has been completed, and that was long before I decided to go to chiropractic and change everything around. But everything is completed.
Okay. Thank you. So I'm going to ask our counsel, Mr. Rain, do you have any further concerns or questions about that?
No.
Okay. Okay, so we have a first and second to grant licensure. I'm going to call for the question. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, hearing none, licensure is granted upon payment of appropriate fees. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, tab number 4 is regarding Dr. Marius. Is it Ruja?
Ruja.
Thank you. Come on up and introduce yourself, please.
My name is Dr. Ruja.
Thank you for joining.
Pleasure.
morning.
Ms. Castro.
Dr. Ruja has applied for licensure by endorsement from the state of Texas. Dr. Ruja was issued a license by the Texas Board of Chiropractic Examiners in 1996. During the application process, board staff became aware that Dr. Ruja was issued a cease and desist order from the Texas Board of Chiropractic Examiners in 2016 for operating a chiropractic facility without a certificate of registration. Dr. Ruja stated that the facility registration had been renewed. However, the practice address had not been updated, resulting in that disciplinary action.
Hi, thanks for joining and being available for us to help make a determination today. So, we've read the materials, and I'm going to give you a chance to clarify anything that you think needs clarifying, and then I'm going to ask my board members if they have any questions for you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for your time, and it's a pleasure to be here. I have the letter here. It was very clear during that time, my wife, who is the administrator, and we call her the boss, by the way, she was going through her fourth surgery, and during that transition time, I have the letter in here that stated that she did not renew it with the new address. But we did comply, follow up with the board, and we were paying the fees, but the address was not updated. That's all I can say.
Okay, so one of my questions for you, when I look at the application that you filled out, and board members, I'm looking at page number 4 of 24, and 3 of 24, no, 4 of 24. And I'm looking at question 33, and it says, in this or in any other jurisdiction, has any formal sanction ever been taken against your license, or have you ever surrendered a license? And you check no to that. And then question number 34 is if you've ever been denied a license, certificate, registration, or permit to practice chiropractic. And you also say no to that one. So why did you say no when you've had the sanction against you?
My understanding was that I did not, lose a license. And that matter was taken care of.
Okay. Board members, do you have any questions?
In our materials, there's a, and I'm looking at page 23, a motion to dismiss. Were you aware of that document?
I wasn't aware of that. No, sir.
Okay. So, board members, any other questions? And if not, does anyone want to make a motion?
This is Dr. Kolash, and I'll move to grant licensure with proper payment of fees.
Okay, is there a second?
I'll second the motion.
Okay. And then, you know, for discussion, in the future, any time that you renew your license, you have to be completely transparent with us, or else we wonder what else you're hiding, or if anything at all. I'm going to go ahead and call for the question. Those in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay, hearing none, the motion carries, and you'll be licensed upon payment of the appropriate fees.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay, the next tab is tab number 6 regarding Danielle Stiesel. Hi, please introduce yourself for the record.
Good morning, Dr. Danielle Stetzel.
Stetzel, thank you. Okay, Ms. Castro.
Dr. Stetzel has submitted a completed application for licensure by examination. On the application, Dr. Stetzel disclosed that she'd been arrested for underage drinking in 2014. Dr. Stetzel stated that her license was suspended for 2 months and was required to attend alcohol awareness class. Board staff has received documentation from the New Jersey Department of Law and Public Safety stating there are no records available of the incident. Board staff also received documentation from Municipal Court New Jersey confirming the charges and disposition.
Okay, so thank you for, again, being transparent on your application and being upfront with us. So we've read the materials. Do you have anything that you'd like to add or say at this point?
The only thing is I don't know why it says that there are no charges from the state police. It was quite a runaround to try to get those records. So I lost my license for 2 months. I attended the classes, and actually as a result of that happening, it totally changed my course and helped me actually stay in school and get to chiropractic school and gave me way more drive to help the people through chiropractic. So thank you for letting me be here.
Okay, and you graduated in December of 2018?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Okay, board members, do you have any questions for Dr. Stenzel?
No questions.
Okay, any motions?
Dr. Kolash, I move to grant licensure upon proper payment of fees.
Okay. I second the motion.
Okay, any further discussion? Okay, hearing none, I'm going to call for the question. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. Hearing none, licensure is granted upon payment of the appropriate fees. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Okay. All right. Tab number 7 is regarding Dr. Michael Abney. Hi.
Good morning.
Please introduce yourself for the record.
Yes, sir. My name is Michael Abney.
Okay. Ms. Castro, do you have a board briefing for us?
Yes. Dr. Abney has applied for licensure by examination. His application is complete at this time. Dr. Abney is licensed in Colorado and has no disciplinary action. During the application process, staff became aware that the Florida Department of Health issued a cease and desist to Dr. Abney in October 2018 for practicing as a chiropractor in the state without a license. Additionally, the Florida Department of Health assessed a penalty of nearly $2,000 for the violation. Dr. Abney stated that in a conversation on social media, he agreed to travel to Florida to treat a horse. Dr. Abney further stated that in the same conversation, he agreed to treat the owner as well. After further investigation, staff became aware that Dr. Abney has also been sent a notice of possible violation by the Oklahoma Chiropractic Board for engaging in the practice of chiropractic at the Pinto World Championship in Tulsa, Oklahoma in June of 2018. Board staff notes that Dr. Abney may have also engaged in the practice of chiropractic in Georgia, Idaho, Texas, Alabama, and Arizona. Staff has been unable to verify licensure in those states.
Okay, thank you. So these allegations are serious. You know, you're a relatively recent grad, and so how do you, you know, I don't know how to say it other than, you know, I think as a group, all chiropractors agree that we need licensing boards and there needs to be protections for the public. You know, if you're attempting to practice or practicing without a license, it means that you have no malpractice insurance. It means that you're kind of off the grid, and I don't know why you would put yourself in that circumstance. So I want to hear a good explanation for that.
Yes, sir. And also thank you for allowing me to be here to have a chance to speak. So at the end of 2017, I was practicing in Colorado. I went through a divorce at that time. My ex-wife was granted primary custody, and she was offered a job in Alabama. So at that time, I closed my practice, moved down to Alabama so I could be near my kids. Financially, the divorce took an insane toll, and I was actually meeting with a lawyer to try to attempt to file Chapter 7 shortly after I was in Alabama. And the only thing I can say is that I couldn't afford to pay the fees. I had clients that wanted me to be there to work on their horses, and I it's the only thing that saved me from being able to not file for bankruptcy, which I don't know how I would recover from that. not to make excuses. I know I shouldn't have been doing it. And the, you know, once I had received notice from the NPDB, which I had only received one actual notice from them. Actually, I received two. The second was notice that I had paid my fees to Florida. It's been horrible. I'm not that type of a person who would do things like that, but I was just extremely desperate. And my reasoning for filing to try to get a license here is, you know, I want to start in Arizona and do it right, and I am not financially tight anymore like I was. I've never been in that situation before. And I would just request that the board grant me an opportunity for a fresh start, and you will never have a problem like that with me again. Oklahoma for Pinto World, I was there 2 years in a row, and the prior year I had applied to Oklahoma for a temporary, it's called a temporary license to treat, which is when I was licensed in Colorado. And so I was legally practicing at that time. However, the following year, I was not. But that's the one show, it's the busiest show that I have for the year. And I primarily work on horses. And that's the one thing that really dug me out of the hole, was being able to be there. And like I said, I know that I shouldn't have been doing that, but I just had my back really up against the wall, and those things were the only things that filled me up. So, if I am granted a license in Arizona, I will take appropriate steps if I do travel to other states, and make sure that I do have the appropriate documentation that I need. I think that's all that I have to say.
Okay, so I'm looking at your application. And for licensure, I'm looking at, again, question number 31 on board members, page 4 of 40. It says, in this jurisdiction, in this or any other jurisdiction, has any formal sanction ever been taken against your license, or have you ever surrendered a license? And you put down no. The next question is, have you ever been denied a license, certificate, registration, or permit to practice chiropractic or any regulated health occupation in any state or jurisdiction? You put no for that one. Question 34C says, have you ever been convicted of any offense, misdemeanor, or felony in any state? And you put NA. So how is your previous situation in Florida, where you were issued a cease and desist and then paid a fine, not applicable? And why were you, if you were trying to hide that from us, we're off to a really bad start. Why do we have to investigate and find these things out? Why can't you be transparent with us?
The way that I read that question, I just didn't consider that the letter that I got was what that question was asking. I didn't know if it was considered a misdemeanor. I knew it wasn't a felony, but I didn't know how that applied or where that came into effect. So I put no, just because I didn't know if that actually applied to that question. So looking back, I should have probably disclosed something, but I just wasn't sure if that was where I do that, or I just wasn't sure.
Okay, so have you ever advertised in a state like Arizona or other places that you would do veterinary chiropractic, you nodded your head yes.
Yes, sir.
So here we go again. You're not licensed yet, and you're advertising, and you can't rob a bank and say I needed the money. You know, you're saying that your financial situation was desperate, and so you didn't comply with the local laws and standards.
Yes,
sir. So how do we know how far that you take that if you were granted a license?
I guess I don't understand the question exactly. Are you asking, will I continue to advertise in other states if I am granted a license in Arizona, or?
No, I'm thinking more about your moral fitness of what's justifiable to you and what's not based on need.
I understand.
So I'm going to ask my board members if they have any questions for you.
Yes, sir.
You've been operating in a regulated field unregulated for some time. When then you step forward to say make it starting over, but you don't disclose your past. Do you have an explanation for that?
I'm not sure. I don't have another past besides what we're discussing here today. And I guess I didn't. If there was a specific question on the application where I thought it was appropriate to disclose the violation, I definitely would have done so. I was just answering the questions as I thought they read and was trying to give the best answer that I could. I knew that because it was reported to the NBDB, I didn't know, but I had obviously assumed that the board would discover that during the background check. So I didn't expect that it wouldn't be discovered. However, if the application had a question that specifically addressed what I had done or the letter that I received or the cease and desist, I would have absolutely disclosed it. I just didn't know where I should have disclosed that on the actual application.
Let me follow up with that.
Yes,
you've actually been, according to our materials, going from state to state, treating chiropractically.
Yes, sir.
And you know the chiropractic is a regulated profession.
Yes, sir.
And so you've gone to multiple states where you know it's regulated, but you know you don't hold a license.
Yes, sir, that's correct.
And your explanation is?
My explanation is just that that's the only thing. So when I had my practice in Colorado, it wasn't making any money. It was not profitable whatsoever. However, I don't know if it's a state situation or a federal one where I had a S corp, and my S corp was bringing in about $9,000 a month, which I had a DBA of serving life chiropractic, but that was just barely covering my overhead. And many times I had to take money out of my own pocket and cover the overhead. And once when the divorce occurred, she had an attorney, and the attorney stated that all of the income that I brought in through serving life chiropractic was considered pass-through income. So on my tax return, it looks like I actually made that money and earned that money. However, nothing was going into my pocket. And so when the divorce came, they granted her the alimony and child support for the average income of the practice, even though I didn't have any of that money coming into my pocket. So every month I have to pay her this money, and I don't have it, and I haven't had it. So the reason I was hopping from Georgia, Alabama, Florida, around that area, which is where I was living, was because I'm trying to keep my head above the water with that and my personal expenses. And again, I know it's not right, and I completely understand why my morals are being questioned, which is the most difficult thing for me, because prior to this, I haven't had anything whatsoever. I was a veteran for 10 years, and I was a lieutenant in the Coast Guard, and I had a perfectly clean record up until this, and I just don't do, it's just not me, and I don't have any excuse. It's financially, I was in dire straits, and that's the only reason that I did what I did. I still kept insurance, even though I don't have a license. I kept my malpractice up and my professional liability insurance up through the Hartford Group. I know that it wouldn't apply, but I had $1 million in professional business insurance in case something did happen. And I really don't have anything else to say, because I know that what I was doing was wrong, and nothing will make it right what I was doing. So to answer your question, it was a financial issue and nothing more.
Can I ask a question?
Absolutely.
So you are going from state to state, keeping your head above water. You're making money.
Yes, ma'am.
Meeting overhead. Why didn't you apply for licenses in these states?
Well, I actually did apply for licensure finally in Texas and Florida, and I submitted an application to Alabama. However, Texas doesn't allow me to practice the way I would practice because you have to have a registered location. So I couldn't just go practice. I couldn't have a license in Texas if all I wanted to do is come into the state to provide chiropractic services at the at a show or at somebody's barn or something like that. I would have to have a specific location. Also, in the state of, well, when I applied for a licensure in the state of Florida, the opportunity to come here arose, and so I didn't end up fulfilling the application process, which was just the jurisprudence exam. However, I paid the fees to both Texas and Florida at that time.
And in Oklahoma, when you had, they gave you a temporary license 1 year, but not the next year?
Yes, ma'am.
Why?
Because the license for, or the temporary license for Oklahoma, that was in June, and you also have to pay a fee to get that license, as well as you have to have two character references from the state that you're practicing in order to, as part of the application process. So, in other words, when I was practicing in Colorado and I requested a temporary license to treat, I had to have two other licensed chiropractors in Colorado to provide a character reference to the State Board of Oklahoma in order for me to get that temporary license to treat. Yeah. And since I didn't have that, I wasn't able to request that temporary license to treat in 2018 because I didn't have the license anymore in Colorado.
You couldn't get two doctors to provide your character?
Well, it was because I wasn't licensed, ma'am, so I couldn't do that, go through that process.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Dr. Knopf, do you have any questions?
Yeah. Dr. Adnian, I'm thinking along the lines of the other board members here, and I see why they're asking the questions that they do, and just because you start a practice in Arizona doesn't mean that your practice is going to be successful here. Right? I mean, running your own business is hard, as you've already found out. And so the question I think in our minds is, well, what happens if you get licensure in this state, you open up your business, and we're back up against another financial wall? What are the potential actions that you might take, knowing that you're backed up against the wall again? And I just think that's the concern of our board members. So if you were to get licensed, I mean, how do we know that you're not going to cut down that road if you find yourself in a similar situation?
Yes, sir. And I understand your question. There's a couple of reasons. Number one, when I was going through the financial struggles that I was, I completely got rid of anything that was taking extra money out of my pocket. I sold a house. We actually sold two houses that we had. I sold my car, purchased a motorhome, and bought a lesser car that I didn't have payments on. So my financial, part of the financial issues that I have are not here anymore. And secondly, the opportunity that I have here is not one that will cause financial hardship. And that's because there's a medical practice, it's called MoreMD, and the owner there wants me to come in and provide chiropractic services in his offices, of which he has four. And so, and the agreement between us is I would be an independent contractor, and there's not any overhead out of pocket. I would be paying 50% of anything that I bring in the office to him. So I'm not financially out of pocket, and he also has 28,000 current patients that he's going to draw from, for chiropractic care. So
those two things are, you know, primarily why, you know, the financial issue shouldn't be a factor, but also, you know, this entire process has been terrible for me, and, you know, to have my morals be put in question, though understandable, is really tough. So,
okay, thank you.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yes.
One more question. You mentioned that you paid the fees to Texas and Florida.
Yes, sir.
And, but were you, what happened with the licensure process? Can you?
I didn't complete the process because of the regulations in Texas, and because when I applied for Florida, this opportunity had come up, so I didn't want to have the Florida license if I was going to be coming out here to practice in Arizona. And with the opportunity here that I have, there won't be the traveling and stuff that I was doing previously, simply because I'll be in the office rather than needing to rely on the mobile practice.
Now, you do realize that if you were granted a license in Arizona and you work for any clinic, you are responsible for all of the billing practices that happen with your name attached to it.
Yes, sir.
You cannot join a clinic and have them handle your billing and have no say in it, or else you can run yourself into big problems. So just to make you aware of that.
Yes, sir.
Okay, so we have options. We can deny the license. We can grant it. We can grant it with other terms, like passing the ethics and boundary examination and with a consent agenda or consent agreement.
I'd like to move to go to executive session for legal counsel, please.
Is there a second?
A second.
Okay, those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Aye.
Okay, we're gonna break into executive session. You stay here. You know what? You need to leave because our member on the phone, we would lose him.
Yes,
so if you can just wait out in the hallway, we'll invite you back when we're back in open session.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Hello, we're back in regular session now, open session. So we have lots of options. You know, we like to give people second chances as long as we're assured that no harm is going to come to the public. And so one of the things that we can do is we could issue a license with a consent agenda as a probationary status for a certain time frame with certain parameters that would help us feel more comfortable that we're giving you a second chance. And so if one of my board members would like to make a motion to that effect or otherwise, now is the time.
Mr. Chairman, I have a motion to that effect. Okay. So I move to grant licensure under a consent agreement. First parameter is making sure that all laws are fulfilled. You do not violate any laws. Be a 2-year probation. With successful completion of the EBAS examination within 3 months. Ethics, additional to the 12 hours of continuing education required, 24 hours of ethics education in the first year and 12 in the second year. That he repay the costs of the investigation, but those costs be stayed upon completion of the 2-year probation. And that the small list that I've given are not exclusionary, so he needs to comply with all state laws, not just Arizona's, but if you're traveling to treat, all those need to be properly done.
Would you offer the ability for early termination of probation upon completion of all the requirements?
I respectfully think that the 2-year probation is would be part of my agreement. of the by the concerns are not met. So.
Okay, is there a second for discussion?
I'll second the motion.
Okay, you know, for discussion, animal chiropractic is controversial in Arizona. You may, and we're discussing amongst ourselves right now, so now it's not an appropriate time for you to apply, but I just want to throw it out there as a board member for 6 years or 7 years on the board. We have seen on occasion animal chiropractic cases that the veterinary board gets involved with, and so those treatment protocols go best with the cooperation of a veterinarian. Any further discussion? Okay. So hearing none, I will call for the question to grant licensure with the consent agenda for probation for the terms that were stated, and then review by Dr. Kolash prior to those being offered to Dr. Adney.
And before you vote, can I just make one clarification or a confirmation, which is if the consent agreement is not accepted, is the motion to deny, if not accepted, deny licensure?
I think I would open it up to a second motion if it fails.
No, if this motion carries and he does not sign the presented agreement, then he is denied licensure.
Oh, yes. Okay. Yes. I'm sorry, I misunderstood your question.
That's the understanding from the second.
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to be sure that was
clear. Okay, I'm going to call for the question. I think we need a roll call vote.
Yes.
Dr. Kolash?
Aye.
Ms. Powell?
Yes.
Dr. Knapp?
Aye.
Dr. Guarino?
Aye. Okay, so the motion carries. You will be offered a consent agreement to get a chance to practice in Arizona. If you have any further questions, you can direct those to our interim director, Ms. Lindsay Castro, tomorrow or later in the week.
Sure.
All right, thank you.
Thank you all very much.
Yeah. Okay, we have few more items on our agenda. I understand that there's a call to the public and somebody would like to speak, so I'm going to take the agenda out of order and give them a chance to go ahead and address us at this point.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Terry Woods. I'm a lawyer. I came today to ask the board to consider putting on the agenda a consent agreement in case number 2019-019. I represent Dr. Moran, who's the subject of that consent agreement. And the reason I'm asking that it be put on the agenda of a future meeting for consideration of revision is that Dr. Moran did not have available to him an important document that is pertinent to at least half of the reason that the consent agreement was offered. I'll put a little meat on those bones. There were two concerns that led to the consent agreement: alcohol incidents and the failure to be candid in the application process. The facts as set forth in the consent agreement are that his license had been denied back in 2008. His application for license had been denied here in Arizona. But what has unearthed now is a letter from the board referring to action by the board at the November 2008 meeting rescinding the denial of his application. That letter was not available to him at the time that he went through this process. And frankly, I found it, not even electronically, I found it in an old paper file that was on its way to being destroyed. All I'm asking is that you put it on the agenda for discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Woods. Anybody else for a call to the public? Okay, thank you.
Board, members could at this time during staff if they had desired to write staff place it on an agenda that's appropriate desire for the chair to discuss it with the executive director in between the meeting. Either way.
Okay. Yeah, let's go ahead and put it on the agenda for future consideration. Okay, tab number 8 is our board meeting minutes for February 27, 2019. Are there any corrections?
Mr. Chair, I found one. Page 7, line 21. I tried to pull it up here.
Well, that's. I'm gonna go through page by page, if that's okay.
Okay.
So let's start with page one. Just grammatical. If we could put the DC initials after my name for the call to order in line number 14 on page one. Okay. Let's go to page number 2. Page 3. Page 4. Okay, page 5 on line item number 8. I'm just reading it and I want to make sure that I understand it. It says, issue a non-disciplinary order for 4 hours of continuing education and billing and record keeping specific to compliance, and I'm not sure what the compliance referred to. So I don't know if anybody else knows what that was about or how we can clarify that?
That was actually the specific motion that was made.
Okay.
And I do believe that this continuing education has been completed, so I can go back and look at that. But it was specified that it be in compliance.
Records compliance is what
records
I think.
Compliance. Okay, so we can change that and add records.
You may consider just striking specific to, and then it would just be in billing and record keeping compliance.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. And you made the motion. Is that acceptable to you?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Let's go to page number 6. Dr. Knopf, page 7.
Yes, page 7, line 21. It should be the board directed Dr. Englund instead of Engel.
How do you spell that?
A-N-G-L-E-N?
Okay.
Correct.
I see it in the paragraphs above. Thanks. Okay. Page number 8.
I didn't catch that.
Page number 9. Line 38. Dr. Miller provided an instead of and explanation. Page number 10, line 14, there was no one signed into, two words, into speak. Page 11, 12, 13. Did we lose him? Okay, page 13, line number 22 just says terms to be negotiated by the director. Is that okay, or do we need to say executive director? Or
I can clarify that.
Okay. And then 14, any corrections? Okay, hearing none, is there a motion to approve as amended?
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
You can stop the quorum.
Okay. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye. Welcome to WebEx. Enter your access code.
Hearing
none,
the motion carries. To approve the draft board meeting minutes of February 27, 2019 as corrected. So we're going to move on now to executive session minutes on tab number 9 for February 27th of the same day.
You are the first person to join the meeting. Please stand by.
Okay.
Dr. Knopf, can you hear me again?
Yep, we got right. You now.
All right.
Okay, so we're on tab number 9L for the executive session minutes. There are four pages. Are there any corrections on page 1? Page 2? Page 3? Or page 4? Okay, hearing none. Is there a motion?
Move to accept.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Okay, hearing no opposition, the meeting minutes are approved. We'll go to tab number 10 now for the meeting minutes on 3/27/19. Okay, same thing. It looks like item number 15 or line number 15, Richard Guarino, if we can just add a DC for continuity. Any corrections on page 2, page 3, or page 4? I don't think it matters, but you are listed as the interim executive director at that point. Did that already happen by then? On the final signature on line 31? Or is it was retroactive? Or?
Well, that would be the date she's signed the minutes.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Any corrections? Otherwise, hearing none, is there a move to approve as amended?
Move to approve.
Second.
Okay. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, hearing none, the meeting minutes are approved. Okay, on to tab number 11.
Tab number 11 is the report on applications approved. And I included a copy for you. There were 4 applications approved since our last meeting. Betty Locke, D.C., Jenna Vincent, D.C., Josh Larson, D.C., and Sherry Cook, D.C., and those were all for licensure. You can see we just added the days saved that they would not have to wait till this board meeting to get approved. And those were just approved since May 7th.
Okay, that's what the days saved are. I have to say I'm impressed with this list. You know, like we hear people complain when they apply and then they think it takes too long to get, you know, approved. But I'm looking at the completed column and either the same day or within 4 days, you know, they were approved once their applications were completed. So thanks for that. Okay. Is there a motion?
For ratification of this list?
Yes.
So moved.
Yes. Okay. Second.
Okay, those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, it's ratified. Okay, tab number 12 is our discussion regarding the continuing education course application review process. Ms. Castro, do you have anything to say on that? You don't have to. I, you know, having been on the board, it's always, you know, in the past we've left it up to staff at the staff's discretion to approve or not approve based on our statutes. On occasion, you know, staff is, if they thought anything was questionable, they would contact either myself or Dr. Katsaros in the past or Dr. Badge. You know, I had a conversation with Ms. Powell, who wants to step up and be involved in the process, and I totally appreciate that. So, you know, we have different venues, you know, to have pre-approved chiropractic education. I think the one that gets us kind of questionable is when we have a local doctor who's not affiliated necessarily with a national association or with a college, you know. Then we get a syllabus that may or may not be acceptable, you know. And so, if it's so, you know, I'd like to entertain any topic of discussion on that, and I would like staff input as well on what the regular process is. And you know, I know that we take pre-approved chiropractic education from the FCLB, but that process is expensive for a standalone person who wants to lecture and offer. And so they come to us looking for some type of approval number. Specifically, recently we had there was a question about some course material that was, you know, I approved for staff. I looked at the topic, but Ms. Powell thought that the syllabus was lacking, and so, you know, she raised the question, well, can we take that back? You know, and I said, well, that sounds very difficult for staff to deal with if we approve a course for that's already happened for part of the year and not the second half of the year, and make, you know, so I don't know what our options are at this point, if we can request further information and for them to give us more detailed information as to the syllabus and very specifically from what time to what and what was exactly taught. Because when I looked at it, I looked at it from more of a perspective of these courses, you know, the course topics are acceptable, but I wasn't looking at all the nitty-gritty details, and so I appreciate her attention to detail. And so another thought was to have kind of a, you know, designate a committee, you know, that helps staff review the continuing education as these come in, so that we have another set of eyes on it, and she volunteered for that, which I'm in favor of. So I'll take any comments at this point if anybody wants to chime in on that.
Okay. What I was trying to do accomplish is making sure that the doctors who were submitting curriculums for CE hours were meeting the minimum standards according to the regulations. As I said to Dr. Garino, I'm not trying to make it harder, just making sure we meet a minimum standard. It just seemed to me like all I need is 12 hours. At least I want to understand what the 12-hour course, or what the 4-hour course, whatever course, is really, what it really involves. And this one in particular that I looked at didn't have a title on it. There was lots of little things missing. And I realized that's not what it's about. It's about the crux of the course. But I would just like to see them, and if it's a post-grad syllabus, that these people step up to the plate and provide that so that we always know what those classes are. And just make it a little bit better, not harder. Though I probably did make it harder, and I apologize for that. When I said talked about rescinding, I didn't mean a class that's already taken place. Obviously, that would be a difficult thing. But before it got started, if we could see them before, you know, the syllabus is approved for the first time, anything we've approved for the past 2 years, we just keep on, you know, it'll be status quo. Mm-hmm. And I thought any new materials or courses that are introduced, it would just be nice to expect that post-grad level education.
Well, and we, you know, I think we need to be cautious when you talk about just approving whatever's been approved in the past, because we have had cases where docs have come up and they've taken a course from somebody who was approved previously, but now maybe they don't have their college affiliation anymore, and now they don't meet the requirements, and so these really have to be approved on an annual basis, correct?
The approval is good for 2 years.
2 years, okay. Mm-hmm.
And even if they don't have an affiliation anymore with the college, as long as they have that level of knowledge and experience, that'll substitute for that. So
correct.
I wasn't worried even about that, because I know most of them will maintain their level of education. You know, if they were affiliated with a school, then they achieved that level. Mm-hmm. So
I know you're not prepared for this question, but what would you say would be a range of how many instructors want to get CE approval per year on average or a range?
I believe last year we approved 180 something courses.
And how many were submitted, do you think, roughly?
We probably deny a small amount.
Okay.
And maybe we deny a handful a year, and then there's some that just don't complete the application, so there's
okay.
Always some of those that don't.
You know, not instructors.
I don't know that I could individual instructors, I would say that we have close to 100, maybe 75 or so.
Really?
yeah.
making sure that if this is a course we approved and now it's being taught by someone totally different, a substitute, okay, for whatever reason, that they're on the approved list.
So when they apply for the course, they have to tell us at that time who will be teaching it, and
if it turns out that's not the person teaching it, what do we do?
Then that would be a situation where that course is not approved. Because the course is approved, and we've talked about this, with the content of the times taught, the subject matter,
right,
and the instructors, and all of that together is reviewed and approved. So if any of those things change, then that approval doesn't, you know, hold up.
Right.
So they would need to be submitting, you know, a separate application. Sometimes they'll give us a few different instructors.
Yes.
They'll say any of these three will be teaching, and we can approve it that way.
Yes, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
Just in case.
The board, yeah. I mean, the rule does permit you to remove approval upon notice. Mm-hmm. It says the board shall. So to the extent that comes out, it'll be for the board. Mm-hmm. But it also allows the board to verify continuing compliance by attending the course.
This
is the board's representative.
Yes.
So to the extent you did designate a representative for continuing education course approval stuff, that person would have the authority to attend any class he or she wanted. Mm-hmm. You know, and verify that it's, you know, and there's probably, you know, obviously you can't do everything, but that could be an option.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously the as you know, the renewal every 2 years you have to do it, and that's a time to reevaluate. And at that point, you wouldn't have to, you know, go through a process of disapproving as much as they wouldn't get approved again.
Oh, right, that approval is just expired.
Yeah.
You know.
So,
right.
Yep.
Yeah.
But you can audit existing courses that are within their 2 year period and remove it if it's found not to qualify.
And I did do that this year, just to kind of get a feel for what I thought might not be, what experience had told me might not be up to par. And it was interesting because the speaker agreed to, you know, to do whatever they needed to step up to the plate. Didn't realize that they needed this or that, the little requirements, and so was willing to work at fixing it. And they have, and I would anticipate they're going to submit new outlines or syllabus in the future, which was nice.
And just
because it's a very famous, a very popular seminar, I might say.
A little piece of perspective relative to other agencies that I've represented, Cairo's course approval rule is, you know, vastly more complex. Typically, maybe it's 3 or 4 lines in a rule. So you have a pretty thorough process of coming in the door. So, I mean, if that helps give any confidence that the classes you do have in there have had to go through a process and a set of criteria that's pretty detailed. So that's good. So you know if they make it through that process, you have a lot more highly vetted CE courses than most other agencies I've seen. The only one I can think is comparable is Vicker Law, which has like another like 4-page rule about what's got to be in every course and everything. But most of them, maybe the subject matter, and that's about it.
Mm-hmm. Right, ours are very specific
very
in what's required in that syllabus. And,
yeah, that's twofold. Number one is, you know, there's a good vetting process going in, but also there's a lot to remain in compliance with. So
I found that wasn't always the case. That's why I brought it up.
Yeah.
When you're submitting 12 hours on 1.5 pages, that's your syllabus. Okay? That doesn't meet the standards according to our rule book.
And I just throw one while I'm chiming in. I would just say the agenda for a committee, a technical committee, might need to end up having notice and an agenda. It depends. It can get weird. But it just to let you know, if you designate just one person, that person can kind of move about a little bit more freely without the opportunity for or the requirement of notice and agenda and things like that. And then maybe just report back to the board. You get maybe 2 board members on a committee. You could probably, you know, you can get by without having an agenda in a meeting. There's no quorum of board members. But usually the one person, you know, there's no meeting, so that person doesn't have to post an agenda.
It's my understanding that if you were to designate a committee, it does not have to be just board members.
That's true.
That you could appoint other professionals that you know that could, you know, serve the board in that way. But one thing to keep in mind is that they are submitting the syllabus of the for the course, but they also have an application process that they have to complete. So you may not be seeing the hours listed a certain way on the syllabus because everyone right. does them differently. Right. But at some point, they have attested that it meets that requirement, and so
right. Understand.
Okay, so you know how to proceed from here. You know, Ms. Powell is not a licensed chiropractor, so she wouldn't be looking at it from the perspective that maybe one of our professional members would. But she's the one who's willing to step up, and you know, I don't know logistically how that works. Then, if you've got potentially 100 to 180, you know, how many of those are you going to actually be able to look at and work with staff, and are you willing to do that?
Yes.
Okay.
I am. And even with the people who submit the syllabus, if there's something missing or whatever, follow up with them. I mean, I want the classes approved. I don't want to discourage anyone from submitting curriculums. We just need to make sure they're up to speed. So I'd be happy to follow up with them.
At this teachers. Point, I would say that we probably have maybe 30 pending applications for CP.
Okay.
That's about where we are, and that's probably pretty typical.
Okay.
Okay. So at this point, then I would like to designate Ms. Powell to work with board staff and help with the CE approval process. And if, as always, if there's anything that looks suspect, I want to bring it in front of the whole board. Okay.
Okay.
I don't know if that's of interest, but maybe that makes sense in a future meeting after there's been a little work on that path to come and provide the rest of the board with a summary
report
of what's been going on.
Yep.
I think that's a good idea.
Yep.
Really good idea.
Okay.
The chair, just to clarify, I think you can do that as chair.
Yep.
You could also take a motion or a vote on it too.
No, I would like that. I would like there to be more transparency with that. So if you can report, you know, every couple of months would be fine.
2 months?
Yep.
Every couple of months.
Yep. Okay. Does anybody need a break?
Yeah, just a quick one.
Quick break. And we will reconvene in 5 minutes. Dr. Knopf, this is your time to do yoga, if you like. Nope.
How do you know that I already have Matt unrolled? That's incredible.
Thank you.
your hand or your shoulder?
She cracks.
Is that not normal?
It's okay. Cracking joints is okay. Thank
you. So, I'm not sure. So, Lindy, you and I are going to work together. Do I come down here to look at them with you? How would you want to do that?
We can talk about what would be best. I mean, if you want me to just email you stuff to look at, we can do that. Or if you want to set a day aside, you know, to come down, we can do that.
Okay.
So maybe if you, if there was something specific you wanted to start with.
Okay.
Or if you wanted
to. You actually have 30 people for this.
I think there's about 30 right now.
Be careful what you ask for.
I know. Well, I'm hoping it'll go pretty fast because I know what I'm looking for, but who knows? 30 is a lot. 180 a year, I didn't realize that was that many.
Yeah, I think last year was about 180. Yeah. I don't know if either of you have looked at the directory that we have.
For the what?
We do have a directory on the website.
I did.
For the approved, so you can see, you can search by, subject or instructor or anything.
As long as it's spelled right.
I noticed.
I mean, the board spells it right, but I wasn't spelling it right.
So,
okay. Yeah, I saw those.
Back here.
Okay, we're back from our break in open session. Our next tab is tab number 13 for review and discussion of possible action for the new executive director search. So in the past, you know, we've had the debate whether we were going to try to do a direct hire.
Before we move, I think a question.
Yeah, I was waiting for the appropriate
time. For this item.
Yes, waiting for the appropriate time to recuse myself.
Okay.
So done.
So, you know, I feel like we have two very qualified people that have stepped up, and I thank both of you, Ms. Castro and Dr. Kolash. And I am in favor of moving forward with the direct hire and interviewing the candidates today, which is part of our next tab. So, Dr. Kanoff, Ms. Powell, do you have anything that you would like to say at this point, or Ms. Castro, do you need to brief us on anything regarding this tab?
And actually, maybe it's more appropriate that I do explain the circumstances.
Sure.
Well, I just want to know one thing that is in discussion of the agenda with the staff in my office. The board hasn't voted to conduct the interviews officially. So
right.
Part of the reason we reordered the agenda was at least to have the board as a unit say, we do want to conduct those interviews today. And then the thought was that you might conduct them and make a decision and be done with it, or you might conduct them and then people might say, but I'd also like to do some more. So my thought was, you could vote to say, let's do those interviews. That way the whole board agreed to it and put it on the agenda in case, like provisionally, that would be agreed upon. And then essentially keep it a live agenda item. It's essentially tabled for further discussion. Then conduct interviews, assuming that's the pleasure of the whole board, for the members who are able to vote on it, and then you can come back out of those interviews and make a further decision whether to offer a position or take a different route or do further things. So that was the way it's agendized is for that purpose, is to, again, just vote to do the interviews today, do the interviews, and then still have the opportunity to take a different path after the interviews if you want, or if everyone's, comfortable, that could be another thing voted on now. So let's just do the interviews and let's make a decision today, and that could be a vote too. So that's the thought process behind the agenda as it's structured. But the full intent was to do those interviews today, assuming that would be what the board would want to do.
To quote prior President Bush, I appreciate your strategery.
Well, the main goal and Lindy's not a board member, so she doesn't really have the recusal concerns. So, all candor, we do discuss these issues, and the main goal is that we wouldn't have an agenda problem today. Whatever you want to do, we feel like it's been agendized for almost any path you want to take. So
okay.
We've had a few of those supposedly.
Okay, so that said, board members, does anybody want to vote to or to make a motion to consider our applicants in an interview for a direct hire today?
Yes, I'll make the motion.
Okay.
To interview and make a decision today.
Is there a second?
A second.
Okay, those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, so the three ayes have it with one recused. Which brings us to tab number 13. Well, we're 14. So, you know, I appreciate, again, that we have two very qualified candidates. And so as far as the interview process, you know, I understand we need to pretty much ask the same questions to each candidate. But I think what I would like you each to do is just tell us a little bit about yourself, you know, in maybe under 2 or 3 minutes, if you have anything that you would like to say, and then we can ask some follow-up questions after that.
You may also go into executive session if you have an interview.
Executive session for what purpose?
To conduct the interview itself.
Oh, okay.
You'd go in for one candidate, come out for the next.
Okay, just do them individually then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is she good? I guess I would recommend you do them separately. That's more traditional.
Yeah.
But, I think my gut feeling is that that's preferred, just because, for example, a letter is given to someone who could go into executive session to discuss an employment matter to allow them the option of having it in public. With the underlying assumption that it's part of their privacy or confidence that
sure.
You're going to executive session, so I would think that that's more protective of their own
okay.
Privacy as well.
So, do we have a motion for executive session?
I'll make a motion. We go into executive session.
Is there a second?
A second.
Okay, those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Okay, so we'll start with Ms. Castro.
Okay, you can go ahead.
Okay, we're back in regular session now. And Dr. Kolasch is coming in for his interview right now, so I need a motion to go into executive session once again.
I make a motion to go into executive session.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Okay, those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, the ayes have it. We are back in executive session. And we've just conducted both interviews, and at this point, the board needs to make a decision if we are going to continue with the direct hire and put a name forward. And then if that happens, then we would break back into executive session to discuss some more details about that. So, board members, what's your pleasure? Somebody want to make a motion?
We can make the motion to choose which hire. Okay.
Right.
So I would like to make the motion to hire Mark Kolasch to be our executive director.
Okay. Is there a second?
I'll make a second.
Okay. Discussion?
Yes. For purposes of discussion, should we not have a copy of the budget? Or am I kind of off in left field on that?
I don't know that that's necessary okay. For today's purposes.
Okay.
Yeah. For discussion, I just want to say again, I totally appreciate both of you standing up and applying for this position. I love that we can hire from within and that we have two outstanding candidates. That said, I'm going to call for the question. Those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
And any opposed? Okay. So, Dr. Kolasch, you will be our next executive director.
Thank you.
And now we need to break into executive session. Can I get a motion?
I'll make the motion to enter executive session.
Is there a second?
A second.
Okay. So, Dr. Kolasch, you're going to have to leave the room for this one. And then we'll continue.
Yeah. I would also recommend that we exclude all employees.
Okay. Thanks for your patience, everybody. So I will entertain a motion.
I would like to make a motion to hire Dr. Kolasch at the anticipated salary discussed in the executive session.
Okay, is there a second?
I second.
Okay, any further discussion? those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Okay, hearing none opposed, the ayes have it. And so so from here, we'll have to submit to the Arizona Department of Administration, and they'll have to be in contact with you for the offer, and then you can decide if you want to accept it or not, and we'll go from there.
Okay.
Any further board business? I don't think so. We did our call to the public. Does anyone want to move to adjourn?
Make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
I'll second.
Okay. Those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay. Motion. Meeting is adjourned. Thank you.